worthy of it all? Is he worthy of it all? He is worthy. He is the Lamb, strong and mighty, the King of glory, the Lord of all, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. In him all things consist. The Bible says he is before all things, and in him all things consist. The world is held up with the word of his power. Do we serve a good God? Oh, we serve a holy God. I've been thinking about this message today. I took some time, even in between my getting ready to move and just get with the Lord on what I was wanting to say tonight, and just been meditating on it. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get to working and I get to thinking. And that's a good thing if we're thinking on the things of God. And we can meditate on them. And I was just blessed today. Just blessed by him. His presence, his grace. He comes. When we keep our mind on him, he said, we'll have what? Perfect peace. The peace that passes understanding can guard our heart and our mind in Christ Jesus. And yes, we have to look into, you know, the thing is about living on the earth is we live in two worlds, don't we? We've been born again, and we live in a world that touches heaven. How many know it is our spirit? We contact God, but with our body, we contact this earthly world. And how many know there are things in this earthly world that you and I can't control everything? So, well, I thought we have authority. We do. In our life, we have authority over sickness, disease, and all that. But, you know, you can't control if you go to McDonald's and the line is very long. Do you control that? No. You're hoping it's short, but sometimes it's long, right? So what we control is what? Our emotion, our patience. So, oh, this is a great time. I get a little extra time to pray, worship God, something like that, right? And use our time wisely. Those are the things we get. But we live in two worlds. And in this world, it's not fair. Our first birth, it's not fair. You know, some people were born, you know, they've got those good genes and they're skinny all the time, and you know, other people struggle to lose that weight back. You know, they just been, you know, I think Gary Carpenter was talking about this. He said, I've always been fat, seems like, you know, his whole life. But, you know, it's not me, and it's not all of that. Part of it is self-control and using ourself and disciplining our body. But anyway, I gotta get on task here because we're talking about winning people to Jesus. And in this world, you know, we face this world, don't we? That means we connect right here with our mind and our intellect. And we've been talking about how to connect with the people. Number one is to value somebody, right? Remember, we talked about people are valuable. How does God value people? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. How does he value them? How does he see them? What does God say? God says, I am not imputing their trespasses unto them. I have paid the price through my Son, Jesus Christ, and I refuse to impute trespasses to any human. I paved the way. So what is the one sin that we do or people do to keep themselves from heaven is the rejection of what Jesus did. When we reject Jesus, when people reject Jesus, that is the one thing that keeps them out of heaven, isn't it? How many know that at the cross, one thief rejected him, and the other said, will you remember me in your kingdom? There's something about you. And he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And God is so interested in people coming to him. He made the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He made the way. And we talked about last week about how it's important that we have the right message. His name is Jesus. It's not Buddha. It's not Allah. It's not just, you know, sometimes we talk about God and that's good. But sometimes people don't understand Jesus is God. Jesus claimed to be God. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. When Jesus began to speak many times, they wanted to stone him. Why do you think the Jews wanted to kill him? Because he continually said, I only do those things that I see my Father do. Before Abraham was, I am the name of God. He said, I am. And so that message that we're taking, that we're bringing forth, we can have assurance that God will save. It is us that brings that plants the seed. God uses us. He allows us in the process of someone coming to him. He said, well, he doesn't need you. No, he doesn't necessarily need us, but he desires us to work with him. He wants us to grow up, to be mature sons, to work in the family business with him and let him flow and be a bold witness, a bold testimony for him. How does boldness come into play in our witness for God? It's us deciding and saying, I'm not going to let my fear stop me from speaking of Jesus. I'm going to begin to let my vocabulary change more and more as I'm around others to talk more about Jesus. Amen. I was able to share a little bit today with two different people. I was at a couple of different places. Praise the Lord. And how many know we can share Jesus? It doesn't always have to be, hey, everything about the gospel. But we plant that seed. You know, we're trying to engage. And I like to engage with people and kind of learn something about them. You know, if you listen to people long enough, you can locate them, can't you? You locate where they are. Oh, well, I don't think he's saved. He's talking about, you know, Zen or some other God that he looks into. Or maybe they start talking certain language and you realize, oh, I don't think they know Jesus yet. But we can plant that seed and God can use that. So we can't wait until there's a program to be involved in soul winning for the lost. Amen. We have that job right now. We get to work with the Father. What works some places may not work other places. There's not a cookie cutter example of how to win someone to Jesus. Jesus sat down at the well and led the Samaritan woman to knowledge of who he was. And he did it a different way, didn't he? When he talked to others. Amen. When he gave the parable about the Pharisees, you know, the Pharisee and the public, or, you know, the guy that he's there. And so God hears the heart. He begins to talk about different ways. There's different ways that they came. How many know in the Bible there were different opportunities? Not everybody was saved just the same. Paul and Silas were in prison and the jailer got saved. They begin to realize, I want us to realize, see, you and I, we do have authority, but we've got to work on taking over when we get into a situation. Did you know that Paul stood before many men of authority? He went to prison on purpose. God put him there. And the governor Felix, remember, he would call for Paul several different times and listen to him. And he said, Paul, thou almost persuadest me to be saved. You've almost got me convinced, Paul. And he would hear, and then he'd say, that's enough, that's enough, take him away, that's it. The conviction of God would come upon him. Who was in charge of that situation? It wasn't Felix. It was the Apostle Paul. He would share his testimony. He declared that with boldness. And when we can know. I'm not talking about being arrogant and say, well, But what we need is to be, you know, we got to get out there, be bold. No, we need to let the boldness of God. In other words, we're not going to be ashamed of him. That's all boldness really is, not being ashamed. Not letting fear rule us. Not letting our intimidations rule us or what they're going to think. And we also need to remember, we need intercessory what? Prayer. For those who are going out to minister, and pray in the Spirit also in our own lives for the lost. Continually trust the Holy Spirit. He's going to direct our steps. There's somebody today I can touch. There's someone I can influence for Jesus. There's someone that I can set a seed into their life, whether it's a scripture or even just sharing with them. Hey, you look a little down. Can I? You know, I pray for people, and a lot of times God blesses them. Would it be okay if I prayed for you? Or I see you're hurting. Could I pray for you? Whatever it is. You know, most people take prayer. Not everybody, but most people will. They don't refuse prayer very often. Of course, they might be, you know, thinking you're saying, you know. Yeah, you know, and a lot of times I'll just ask people, I'll just pray right now if that's okay with you. And it's not the long prayer that gets answered. It's the prayer of faith. Sometimes we could just shout out a small prayer for someone, changing that circumstance in their life, bringing the presence of God right then. You know, I've led people and I've talked to people a lot of times, and they didn't seem like they wanted to pray and receive Jesus. But can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? Lord, I thank you to remove the cobwebs of their mind, Lord. Talking about the devil, you know. And all of a sudden, you know, tears come to their eyes sometimes. I'm not saying tears are any sign. But, you know, their heart has changed and they want to pray. And they want to, their heart is turned toward Jesus. He is the one that does the converting. So we got to lift up our eyes and look. The harvest is white unto harvest, the Bible says. It is white unto harvest. If you see it, if we see the harvest, we can have it. Do you believe that? No, you can have what you see. You can have what you say. It takes vision. It takes faith. John 4:35 and 36. That's what it is. Let me just read that. I should have read it first probably. But John 4:35 and 36 says this. It says, say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then comes harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look in the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receives wages, and gathers fruit unto eternal life, that both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice, what? Together. We are one. We are one family. We are one body. We have seeds we can plant. We have those that we'll reap. There are people, sometimes you'll be that seed planter and it doesn't seem like anything's happening. But we must not be moved by what we see. We trust that when we plant a seed of the Word of God in somebody's heart, God loves you. Jesus died for you. He has a hope for you in heaven. That's the truth of the word, isn't it? Amen. It may not be a Bible scripture, but that's the word of God. That's the truth. He loves you. He has a purpose for you. Jesus has a purpose for you. You know, there are times, I remember when I was in Bible school, Brother Brian McCallum, he says, yeah, he's out mowing his grass, and his neighbor says to him, boy, wasn't Paul wonderful? And he said, I'm thinking to myself, Paul who? You know? But he got his attention. He began to plant a seed. Sometimes it's just that little seed. Causes someone to think. Causes them that they can't get away from it. That's not us, that's God. The Holy Spirit works, doesn't he? So if we can see that harvest, he's coming. Proverbs 20, verse 5. We can draw out the counsel of God, amen, as we seek him, as we pray in the Spirit, the Bible says. His counsel is available to us. Proverbs 20, verse 5. Hallelujah. I was thinking about this today too. Hallelujah. It says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. There is counsel that is in the heart of man, and we can draw out the counsel of God from within us. That's our spiritual man. We have a spirit man in there, our heart, our born-again person. We all need to be able to lead others to Jesus. To value, I've already said this, but I'll say it again because it's worth saying. To value people and treat them that way. How are we really treating people? Are we treating them with value? And I'm not saying most of you probably are. But sometimes people get so carried away. We want that gift of the Spirit to come in operation. And it will. It does. But a lot of times, why do people want that to come in operation? I'm just asking. Have you ever thought about that? Sometimes people want to come in operation. Look what God used me to do, or I did, you know. Bless God, I can get him out of that wheelchair, bless God. And that's important. It's good. It's important. We need to be open to that. But if the fruit of the Spirit is not operating in our life and they don't see God in you, and you are rude and unmannerly, I remember they talked about Jack Cole. He would hurt people sometimes when he prayed with them. He'd get a bigger tent just to say, you know, an inch bigger, a few inches bigger, just to say he's got the biggest tent in town. And God used him, and he had miracles, and things happened. But that doesn't mean it was right. He died young because certain areas of his life he would not judge, and he would not change. And we have to die to our own self and let the fruit of who God is in us be seen by men. That's our greatest witness we have. Our greatest witness we have is to walk with Him, to know Him, to know that He has what? Anointed you. Did you know you're anointed? 2 Corinthians 1:21. Chapter 1. Verse 21, now He has established us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God. He said, well, I want to be anointed. You are. Are you in God? Are you in Jesus? You're anointed to be a witness. I give you permission. You know, if I had a pencil here, I'd let you feel lead. You know, get your pencil sometime. Just poke it on your skin. You'll feel led to be a witness. We don't have to wait for a word from heaven to let Jesus be known. Now, we need to be led of the Spirit. I'm not saying we don't. We should. But we don't have to wait all the time. If we're sharing Jesus and talking about Him, then our life will be that. As I said, listening, key to helping people. And to make contact with them sometimes is just to listen. You know how many people want to be heard? A lot of people want to be heard. I've found, you listen to them a little while, you hear them, there'll be opportunity. You'll hear, you'll see. God may, and we're listening what? With our spiritual ear, not just our natural ear, right? See, we're listening down here. Because God knows things that we don't know. And you start talking a certain way, you don't need to tell them, hey, I got a word of knowledge for you. They don't know what you're talking about anyway. They really don't care. From who? From what? You know, and you start saying, well, from God. Oh, yeah. You know, and you don't have to tell somebody that's a word of knowledge. You may be. But I don't tell people, hey, God told me to tell you this. You just say what God said. Amen. If it doesn't work out, hey, so what? That's what he said. I was at a restaurant one time. I remember this clearly. And God put it in my heart so strong. We decided to go eat after some prayer. And it was so strong in my spirit. He kept saying it over and over to me. You tell that man right there, he is in need of a Savior. I said, all right, Lord. So, you know, what do? Jump up and say it? No, I was listening. I said, Lord, you open that door. You open this opportunity. I don't know this guy. I'm sitting there minding my own business. What? He turned right to me. What? I said, sir, you're in need of a Savior. I don't need no Savior. I said, yes, sir, you're in need of a Savior. His name is Jesus. And he said, why did God tell you to say that? I wasn't sure, so I seriously spent some time praying about it. I said, Lord, why did you tell me that? He said, what time of year is it? I said, well, it's near Christmas. He said, exactly. Do you know what he's going to hear next? I said, I have no idea. Okay, then. Be obedient. Just be obedient. That's all I'm asking. And we don't know what a person has already heard, do we? We are a, what, piece and a part of a body. God's plans, God's purposes, it's important. Remembering someone's name, call them by name. It means something to somebody, doesn't it? If you remember their name. Oh, hey, Jane. Maybe you went into the McDonald's or somewhere else. You know, Starbucks, wherever you go. I don't know where you go, but, you know, whatever store or place you went. Get some coffee, you know, go over here to Tim Hortons or something, and you remember that person's name. And you walk up to the counter the next time. Oh, hey, how you doing, Joe? Oh, I didn't have my name tag. I know. I just want you to know Jesus loves you, Joe. Isn't that awesome? Thanks for the coffee. Next time you stop by. Hey, Joe, how's it going? You doing all right? Are you in school, sir? Oh, yeah, I'm going to such and such place. I'm taking these classes. Oh, that's awesome, man. I'm glad to hear that. You start learning and you're opening up a conversation. You're listening. You have some time to pray. Pray for people. Let God open the door. Trust Him. He so wants to save them, doesn't He? Hallelujah. I've got about 3 or 4 minutes, right? 5 minutes almost. What time does it say? Where's my clock? So let me put my clock away. Okay, here it is. I better get my clock back out. This is a life and death decision. There is a hell to shun. We cannot let anyone go there. We have to think about it more. Amen. This is life and death, heaven and hell. People will say, no, not right now. Let me think about it. And we need to let them know, tell them. They need to. Because I've explained the gospel. You've explained the gospel to them. You need to think about it. It's important. It's an important decision. I understand. We explain the truth to people and be sure that they understand the consequences in love, to bring them to what? A decision. We're not here condemning them. God says, I'm not condemning you. You know, the next verse, many people know John 3:16, but few know John 3:17. He said, for I came into the world, what? Not to condemn the world, but that the world, through it might be saved. Through Christ, that the world would be saved. Jesus didn't come to condemn you. But there are consequences. If we reject Jesus and we stay there, we need to think about it. Put the Word of God into your testimony. How many know that the Word of God is full of power? A lot of times I like to give people scripture, and sometimes I'll just, if there's time and they're able to talk or whatever, I'll just have a little Bible with me, maybe. Open my Bible. Let them see the verse in that Bible. I like people to be able to put their eyes on it, or sometimes on my phone, you know. So more people kind of get on their phone these days, have their Bible on there. Isn't that awesome? You have all kinds of versions on there even. Right in our hand, we're blessed. And the Holy Spirit can what? He works through the Word of God, doesn't he? John 16, let's go there for a minute. I don't know, I was getting excited today about what I'm sharing because it's so important. People are important. Reaching one. Lord, I can reach somebody today. Lord, help me to pray. Help me to seek. When's the last time we thought about fasting and praying until somebody comes to Jesus? Lord, I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm going to keep praying until I lead somebody to you. I'm not stopping, Lord. I'm not giving up. I believe that you're leading me, that you have people for me. Hallelujah. Verse 8 and 9. Verse 8 says, listen, when he is come, he, Jesus, I'm winding down, don't worry. He, Jesus, he says, when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Hallelujah. He says, I will reprove the world of sin. In other words, they know. Many times people hear the word of God. God begins to reprove. The Holy Spirit begins to work. With what? The Word of God. Amen. He said, what? These signs will follow them that believe. But he says, in my name, we're going to, after we speak the Word of God, he works with the Word of God, with signs following. Amen. We bring them to what? A decision. So let's continue to seek God, continue to think about what we're doing. We're studying a little bit about this, aren't we? We're saying, hey, we got to listen to people, Lord. I've got to really think about it, value them. Keep my scriptures handy with me. Amen. God loves you. The wages is what? Sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a real small scripture. Real easy. But how powerful is that? You know, our sin had a wage, but Jesus paid a price. And it's a free gift of eternal life through him. Think about it. Would you, Joe? Think about it. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's we're going to pray. We do need to keep praying for the lost. Praise the Lord. Miss Jim's coming. Glory to God. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Can you turn to Mark chapter 16? Mark chapter 16. So are you driving out complacency? Are you driving out lukewarmness? Have you chosen to decide you're going to be hot, not cold? Have you made that decision? Are you pursuing that? We got to drive it out. We got to drive it out. Because it's so easy just to go with the flow and lose our passion, lose our zeal, and just make things routine. You know, it's so important that we conquer this. And I'm staying on it until, and I'm believing God, you know, because there was a time when I had so much zeal and so much, oh my gosh, energy. And in the journey of it, I've lost that, and it really bothers me. And I was talking to God today, and I said, I've got to have that back. I've got to have that back. One dictionary meaning of the word lukewarmness is no zeal, no enthusiasm, no passion. I want that back because I've lost it. I've lost it. I used to go, when I was first born again, my Bible came everywhere with me. I was so in love with this book. It went to bed with me. I took it in the car with me. It was never without my touch. I was so in love with Jesus. And it's like, I want that back. I want that back. So that's our pursuit. But, you know, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. We broke that down before. Publish, speak, declare what you've witnessed. We are required to do that. This is our job description. This is our job description. To who? To the evangelist? No. If you look at verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. It's our job description. It's not talking to a pastor, evangelist, prophet. It's talking to those that believe. Those that believe. That's me. I'm supposed to believe. I'm supposed to believe. But if you go back to verse 9 in chapter 16. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, of whom he had cast out seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive, had seen of her, they believed not. Signs will follow those that believe. Didn't we just read that? Those that believe. But they believed not. Verse 12, after that he appeared in another form unto the two of them, and as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. They didn't believe them. It was a choice. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Hardness of heart when we don't believe. These signs will follow those that believe. I don't believe. I don't believe I can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I don't believe I can cast out devils. The signs will follow those that believe. If I don't believe, I've got hardness of heart. I know God's taking us on a journey. He's doing heart surgery. I don't know how this is going to go. I love it. At the end of it, my spirit just jumps when I think about it, but I haven't got a clue what's going to happen. But something's in the cooker, and it's like, I can't wait. But he has to do heart surgery first. So now we're dealing with unbelief, being hardness of heart. He reprimanded them because of their hardness of heart. And then he gives them their job description. Go into all the world and preach. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel being, lay hands on the sick, or publish what you've seen and heard, what you've witnessed, because you've got the power to be a witness. We learned that from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You have the power in you to be a witness. So tell people what Jesus has done for you. Don't get into unbelief. They chose not to believe. They chose not to believe. That can't be true. That's not true. That's not possible. And I mean, Mary of Magdalene, of whom he had cast out seven devils. She traveled with them. They knew her. They knew her word was credible. They knew she wouldn't make that up. They knew her character. I mean, when the Bible testifies 2,000 years later, this was a woman that had seven devils and she's still standing. She still got integrity. She's still declaring what Jesus has done. They believed not. And he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. And that's something this week we need to deal with. Let him do that heart surgery this week in you. Let him do the heart surgery. God, I've not been believing. I've not been believing. I didn't think I could lay hands on the sick and something would change. I didn't believe it. Who's guilty? I'll be the first one to admit it. You know what? If we want God to do what we want him to do, we got to be transparent. I'll be the first to admit it. You know, let's just go for it. Let's just make the gospel work. Let's just do this. Let him do the surgery in our hearts. Let him change us so that we can be a stick of dynamite everywhere we go. That's zeal. That's fire. And that's what he wants. And I want that back. I want it back. You know, they believe not. So what does it take to believe? Mark 11, 23, 24, 25. My brain just went tilt. Now I got to look it up. Mark 11, 23, 24, 25. Whosoever shall... Look at verse 22. Have faith in God. The literal translation means have the God kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith. Well, what is the God kind of faith? Genesis 1. God said and it was. God said and it was. God said it was. God said it was. God said and it was. God said and it was. God said and it was. Have the God kind of faith and say, I lay hands on the sick and the sick recover. I cast out devils. If you say it often enough, there's coming a day where you bless God. I know I can. I know I can, because you're building it into your spirit, man. And you got to build it and build it by saying it. By saying it. Why did God change Abraham's name? He was promised that he would be the father of nations, multitudes. And God changed his name to mean exactly that. You will be the father of many nations. So every time they spoke it into being. They spoke it into being. Every time they said Abraham. Every time. We are to speak. If we don't speak, there's no faith. And so this week, deal with the unbelief. If you've been in unbelief, repent of it. Deal with it. Ask God to forgive you and change your heart. And start speaking. I lay hands on the sick. I go to the world and I preach the gospel. I lay hands on the sick and they recover. I cast out devils. I fill them with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Come on. We can do this. We can do this, but admit it if you've been in unbelief. And because of that, your heart is hard. My heart was hard. We don't want this. We want the gospel to be real, but God is doing heart surgery on us, and I know he will continue. There's more to be said. I know that. I don't know what, but we'll take it one week at a time. But that's what we're after, is the change of heart, so that we can be ready and hear what he's saying and lead us, like Pastor Doug, the examples he just gave, and lead us by the Spirit, and we'll just do it. He said he would work with us with signs following, but to those that believe. It's not just going to happen because it's a good idea. You got to believe it. He will work with us and confirm with signs following to those that believe. We have to believe. So make the adjustments this week in your heart. Let God do that work. Let that be your homework, because this, Mark 16, is our job description. The believer. That's our job description. That's what we're supposed to do. Amen? So let's just pray. I'm going to pray that God shows us this week and helps us this week. And the Holy Spirit will remind us. And then we're going to pray in tongues for the lost again. We're not quitting. I know that we're headed into more and more time praying for the lost, but God is trying to make the adjustments in our hearts. So important that we follow that. Amen?